Amen. Hey, it's good to be here this evening. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'd rather be here. Listen, I love to be able to be around the people of God and just be able to preach the Word of God, have a good time in the house of God. So I hope you're glad that you're here this evening. I hope it's not one of those things that you've been made to come. I tell folks often, I the truth is my parents were the cause of my drug problem. They drugged me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I'm glad they did, amen. I am, because when the Holy Spirit of God showed up at my apartment on September the 14th, 1981, so a little over 40 years ago now, when he showed up, I knew exactly what was going on because my parents had made me go to church. And I knew the gospel. I knew what was going on. I knew I needed to be saved. And I thank the Lord for that. The parents don't ever regret making your kids come to the house of God, whether they want to or not. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you would. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let me just give you a quick update. Man, God has been so good to us. Thank you to the many that have been praying for my wife, as she's recovered from surgery, and has been really, she's done well. But anytime you have major surgery like that, it is a slow recovery. But she is doing well. She had decided while y'all were having missions conference here, we went to Brother Caleb Hansen's missions conference up in Minnesota. I tried to talk her out of going, just to be honest. It's a long ride and some full days of activity, and she decided she wanted to go anyway and was able to tolerate most of it pretty well. She stayed in a couple of days just resting up. But then this past weekend, we were supposed to be over in Indiana, but the pastor had called as we were coming home from Minnesota and said he had COVID, his wife had COVID, his daughter had COVID, two different families in the church had COVID. And he said, maybe it's best you don't come. And I agreed with him. Amen. I didn't want to go over there and get COVID. So, but we'll be leaving, on Friday, Lord willing, headed down to Brother Minkowski's, and his church will be getting involved in the Bible handout. Man, it's such a blessing. If you have not been able to go out on the Bible handout, I would encourage you, please do that, please. I promise you, you'll have a good time doing it. It's just fun fellowship. But then when folks pull up and you have the opportunity to talk to them about the Lord, they've already expressed a spiritual interest by wanting the Bible. So it's very easy just to talk with them about the Lord. And so Debbie and I were able to go to Northwest Monday and Tuesday night. And as soon as we got there, had guys coming up to me giving reports of Bible handouts that they've been doing, found out some other churches are doing it that we did not know were doing it. So we're up to about, I think, 25 or 26 churches now doing the Bible handout. We were able to schedule 5 more meetings to go and do Bible handouts for this next year. So, man, keep praying for us. And now, in January and February, we'll be down in Florida. And had a pastor from down there call and ask us to come and said, you can stay here at our place for a couple of months. Gave us a list of names of other pastors to contact that he knew would be interested in the Bible handout. So, man, the Lord is just using that. We've been excited about it. I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I'm very humbled by it. I'm just kind of hanging on and enjoying the ride. Amen. And so keep praying for us that God would just go before us and continue to use us and continue to use the Bible handout ministry along with all the other things that we do in encouraging churches. And folks, there is a great need in our nation. A lot of pastors get discouraged over COVID. The majority of churches that we are in have lost about a third of their folks. And when you're in a small church and you've lost a third of your people, that hurts. And so pray for those folks. Many of them discouraged. And so if you would, just pray that God would give us the wisdom and the help to be able to encourage them and to be able to help them put some new faces in the pew and get their people involved in soul winning. That is really, I cannot say that there is anything that's closer to my heart in the ministry that we're in, is that thing of soul winning. Folks, once I got saved, I was 23 when I got saved, and I grew up in church, but I'd rebelled against everything I'd been taught, everything my parents had tried to instill in me, and I thank the Lord they never quit praying for me and that God never gave up on me. Amen. But when I got saved, it was about a year and a half. A friend of mine had come home from Bible college and he had taken me out. I was a bus captain and he had taken me out though on my bus route and introduced me really to soul winning. I was in a church that, though it was a good church, was not really a soul-winning church. And so he had taken me out on my bus route, and for the first time I'd seen somebody take a Bible and lead someone to Christ. And when I went to Bible college, I went for one reason. Didn't feel like I was called to the ministry. I wanted to learn how to be a soul-winner. I love it. I love it. Now, I have to be honest. I don't get Christians that don't want to be involved in soul winning. I understand the fear of it. Fear's a factor. I teach that all the time. Fear is a factor. I don't care how long you've been winning souls. Fear's a factor. You have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to help you to overcome that. And you can. God will use you. If you'll just make yourself available, God will use you in winning souls to Christ. Because I'm convinced there is nothing closer to the heart of God than people getting saved. That's why he sent his son. Man, just had a missions conference. Why in the world would Schrox want to go to Belarus? Other than, man, seeing folks saved. Missionaries all over the world. Why in the world would I want to travel all around the U.S. in a 40-foot camper other than, man, just to see folks saved? It's a blessing. So I'd encourage you, and I'm going to preach along that line tonight. I do often. If you would, let's stand in honor of reading God's Word, Matthew chapter 13. Hey, I appreciate your faithfulness for being here. Amen. I know it's easy when the pastor's out. A lot of folks kind of skip church and so on. So I appreciate your faithfulness for being here. Commend you for that. Thank you so much. Matthew chapter 13, if you have that, say amen. Wave at me. Do something. Let me know you're there. You got it? All right. If you have a Bible, it'll say, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want to preach just for a little bit this evening on this. Hearing from the sower. Hearing from the sower. Let's pray. And then we'll look at the message. Father, we bow before you because you're our God. And tonight, Lord, we just want to submit ourselves to you one more time. And ask you if you would dispatch the Holy Spirit of God to come to meet with us. Lord, we need you. And God, we pray for the folks over there, Brother Miller and the other building. And God, that you'd meet with them, the folks up at Northwest. God, we need you tonight. We need your presence. I need you, dear God, please. Help me to be an encouragement and a blessing to your people. Thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God, the house of God. Again, Lord, we love you tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. There in Jesus' personal ministry on earth, he taught by parable on many occasions. And if you'd look in verse 11 and 12, he tells us why he did that. If you have your Bible, he said he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know. Well, let me back up verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that that he hath. And what he's saying there is simply this, folks. The saved can hear and understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's God's intention for us to understand those things. By the way, the mysteries are just mysteries to the lost. They're not mysteries to us as the saved, amen. The Holy Spirit of God will reveal those things to us as we read the Word of God, as we're taught the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God's job is to reveal those things to us. And the reason is, look at it in verse 12 again. He said in the middle of the verse, and he shall have more abundance. And God wants to give us more in abundance, or if you will, he wants to give us more understanding of truth. You understand this evening, God's desire, now that you and I are saved, his desire is this, that we fellowship with him, that we get close to him. And by the way, let me say this, when it comes to parables, man, it's the closer you are in fellowship to God, the easier it is to understand the truths of God. I've heard it, I don't know how many times. Well, Brother Scott, I don't understand, I have a hard time hearing from the Lord. And I hear that a lot, especially in concerning soul winning. Understand this, folks, when we're winning souls, it is of utmost importance that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Because, listen, last thing we want to do is become mechanical in our soul winning. And listen, we're all individuals. And we have, man, as we talk to folks, they are different people, have different needs. Let's be honest, the majority of the time that we talk to somebody, we don't know them. We've never met them. Maybe we just knocked on their door. Maybe they just pulled up to the Bible handout. We don't know them. We don't know their needs. It is of utmost that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God in his direction as we talk to him. Remember, it says back here in Jude of some making it, having compassion, making a difference of others. It says pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Why? Some folks respond to the love of God, the compassion. Some folks respond to the fear of God, the fear of going to hell. And so, man, and I hear this. Well, I just don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, time out. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. And when somebody tells me, well, I just don't know how to hear. Listen, wait just a minute. You bought into Satan's lie. Because you can hear the voice of God. Now, I'll go back and say again, the closer you are in fellowship, then the easier it is to hear. But man, every one of us, listen, it ought to be such a desire in our heart now that we're saved, now that we're headed for heaven. Thank God for all of that, and we ought to glory in that. But listen, it ought to be now that our heart and desire is to get so close to him that at the very whisper of God, we hear and obey. Amen. And so he says those parables are given so that we can understand the things and have not only a better understanding, but he terms it like this, more abundance from God. Man, what a way to say it as we get closer in fellowship, that it's more abundance. But therefore, the closer our fellowship, again, the easier it is to understand what God's saying. So I want to just take this parable and just give you a few things that I see from this parable this evening. First, the most important part of the parable. If you would, look there in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Can I say the thing that I see that's of most important there is the sower went. The sower went. Can I say in a lot of churches today, and I'm sure it's true right here at Faith Baptist, and be honest, we have a great testimony as a soul winning church. I mean, as I travel all over the nation, this church is known as a soul winning church. But can I say this? Not everybody that's sitting here this evening is a soul winner. And the truth is, listen, the most important thing is just go.
Amen.
Just go. Man, if you've not been involved in going, let me just ask this, why not? What are you waiting for? Can I be honest with you? If you just come and go, you say, well, I don't know what to say. That's all right. They'll put you with somebody that does know what to say. Amen. And there's opportunities all the time. And I know I've heard our pastor say it before. Listen, if you can't make one of the times, whether it's Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, on Saturday, if you can't make it at that time, just let one of the staff members know. They'll schedule a time to go soul winning with you. Amen. Why? Because the most important thing is just going. Have y'all figured out yet there's folks out there that are hurting? And I'm telling you, there are folks out there that still want to get saved. And I don't know about you, but I sure did enjoy a Sunday morning. And folks getting saved. And I don't know about you, just something inside me just stirs my heart when folks start getting saved. And listen, that doesn't have to be just a Sunday thing. It can be Monday. It can be Tuesday. It can be Wednesday. It can be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Doesn't matter. God's in the soul-saving business. And He'll use you if you'll just do this. Just go. Just learn to go. So listen, we're commanded to go with the seed of the gospel. I don't know how else to say it more importantly than this. It's the marching orders we're under. When you refuse to go, you're saying no to the commander in chief. And by the way, part of the thing that I love about the Bible handout ministry is I have to admit I'm getting a little bit older. Now, I'm not old. Amen. And that's how preachers say it. I'm not old. I'm getting older, though. Amen. And my hips tell me just if I go to Walmart and I walk from one end of Walmart to the other, I know it. Amen. And so with the Bible handout, I tell folks, man, bring you a chair and a bottle of water. They come to you. Amen. I like that. So listen, no excuse for you not going. There's always a way that God will get somebody to you. If you'll just pray and ask Him, God, please give me somebody. I'm just dumb enough. I tell folks all over the place I'm a retarded Texan. Hey, y'all can say amen right there. It's all right. I just believe that God will answer prayers of us asking God to put people in our path to get saved. Why? Because it's the thing nearest His heart. So the first thing I see is this. Go. Whether it's going individually, go at work. Go where, when you're down at the grocery store, when you're at the gas station. Just, man, take a pocket full of tracts with you. Go not only individually, go corporately. When you have opportunity to go as a church, come down here and go. Second thing I see, though, is this. The sower went with a purpose. Went with a purpose. Look at it again, verse 3. Behold, a sower went forth. Why? To sow. He just went forth to sow. Hey, have y'all figured this out yet? I know you have. I'm not saying anything new this evening. See, we don't save anybody. That's not our job. Amen. My job is not getting somebody saved. My job is not to bring them under conviction. My job is this. It's just tell them. It's just tell them. That's my job. My job is just to go out there, take the seed, and just sow it. That's your job this evening. There's none of us can do anything extra special. Now, I know there are some folks that they really seem to be really good soul winners. But listen, I don't believe God really has a pecking order when it comes to, boy, he's a great soul winner, or she's a better soul winner than. No, God just looks and said, man, look, do you see that? They're just going in obedience and sowing seed. And he'll use any of us. Amen. He wants to use us. And so understand that the sower went with a purpose, and it's just to sow. By the way, sure, we have expectations of fruit, but let's be honest, we don't always see folks saved. Amen. I'd love it that every time I go out or every time I do a Bible handout that I see somebody saved, but it doesn't work like that. But I know this, God has an expectation of me going. If you hold your place here, but turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look down to verse 6. See, we may have an expectation of fruit, but that's not necessarily the stated purpose here. And I want us to see here what God says. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now look at this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husband. You're God's building. Understand, God has an expectation of this. You just going. And he said he's going to reward you according to you just going.
Amen.
When you refuse to go, can I say, you're cutting your own throat when it comes to rewards. You're saying to God, God, that's all right. I know you have that reward system, but I don't know if I really want to get in on it. Well, that's kind of crazy. Amen. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. God's got a reward program. I want to get in on it. Amen. Y'all ever seen the kids in junior church and stuff when the preachers get up there and they got candy in their hand? And man, if they either sit up straight or whatever the thing is that the ones running the class or running the junior church is looking for, man, everybody's, I mean, they're sitting up straight, they're quoting verses, they're singing out, and man, as that candy flies, everybody's jumping for it. Amen? Hey, why aren't we like that with the rewards of God? I mean, how many of y'all think we ought to get excited about the reward program God's got going on? Amen or not? I want to get in on it. Amen. I would hate to stand there at the judgment seat and everybody else getting crowns to be able to cast at his feet. And I'm going, duh, doesn't make sense. Again, folks, it's not about us so much as it is about having something to give back to him.
Amen.
Amen? Something to give back to him. I want to be able to, man, he's done so much for us. I want to be able to give back something back to him when that reward time comes. All right, so I want to look at this. Why did he go? Why did the sower go? And again, why should we go? What's the motivation? Well, I would say this. Surely, part of the motivation that for us to go would be this. It would keep people out of hell. Amen? How many of y'all think that's a good thing? Keep somebody out of hell? Amen? I think that's a great thing. Man, if we could be able to talk to them and see them saved and they end up in heaven instead of hell, I think that's a great thing. We've used also through the years the motivation of church growth. And I mean, come and go soul winning so we can see the church grow. I mean, I remember when I was pastoring, Miss Debbie wrote some verses to that tune of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It went like this. Take me out to Faith Baptist. Take me where they love God. They preach the Bible, teach how to win souls. Sing like timeless hymns that never get old. So it's root for Faith Baptist. If we don't grow, it's a shame. So it's 1, 2, 3, hip hooray for Faith Baptist. Man, we used to sing that every Sunday as we had that. It was obviously a ball game type program going on, and we'd sing that first thing. You know, we'd come to church and we'd sing that song, and it was the motivation was let's go get folks saved. Why? For church growth, man. We want to see things grow, and both of those are all right. I want to keep people out of hell, amen. And I want to see the church grow. But let's be honest, that ought not be our motivation. Let me ask you, what if you go and nobody ever gets saved? Do you just quit? What if you go and nobody ever comes? How many of you? Now, this is an awful question. How many of y'all had ever had somebody tell you they were coming to church and they did not do it? Would you just raise your hand? Look at all over the house. Man, I don't know. Surely they're not really lying to us, amen? I think folks are sincere, but something gets in the way, amen? They end up not coming. But listen, what if nobody ever comes? Are you just going to quit? Is that the thing? They're not getting saved. Well, hold your place here again. Go back to John chapter 14. I believe I know the motivation that we ought to have. John chapter 14. Look at verse 15 there. It's a very familiar verse to every one of you. Some of you even have it memorized. It says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And by the way, we're commanded to go. We're commanded to go. We ought to go just because we love him. Isn't it enough just that he died for me? Isn't it enough that God so loved? He didn't just love. He so loved that he would send his son just for me. Isn't it enough that Jesus so loved me that he died in my place? Isn't that enough to make us want to go? That ought to be our motivation. It may be, folks, and I don't know, our nation has gotten so mentally crazy. It may be that we're going to come to a time in our nation where we go and not see folks saved. It's already, listen, I know in just the 40 years that I've been saved, we used to see many more folks saved at the door than we do today. It seems like the hearts of folks have gotten harder. The mind of folks towards the things of God have gotten just further away. But whether they get saved or not, it's not my job. Whether they get saved or not, it's not your job. Our jobs just go because we love him. Just keep sowing seed because we love him. Amen. Another thing I see is this. Be careful about how you receive the seed. Be careful about how you receive the seed. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Scott? Well, let's start. Verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns. Thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell in the good ground, brought forth. So, what does all that mean? Well, Jesus gave us the interpretation. Let's look over there. Go down to, if you would, let's see. Let's start in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Can I say, some folks, can I say it this way? They just missed it altogether. they hear it and they just missed it altogether. Man, I'd say it this way. I couldn't help but think of Nathan McDonald getting saved Sunday morning. Listen, man, if you've heard it time and time again and you're not saved, can I tell you, you ought to run down to the altar and beg God, God, please, please help me to understand. Help me to hear. Don't you miss heaven. Don't do that. Don't. I tell folks that all the time. So I pass out tracts. I may not have time to say much to them, but I'll always tell them this. Do not miss heaven and end up in hell. Please don't do that. It'll be an awful thing. Be an awful thing if there's somebody sitting here tonight and you're not saved. Please, don't miss heaven. It'd be an awful thing. Don't miss that. But some we talk to, they just miss it altogether. If you will, verse 19 then, he says, when anyone heareth the word and understandeth it not, verse 20, but he that receiveth seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy or immediately with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. So then there's the crowd. Some immediately receive it, but the trials of life or persecution because of the word. And let's be honest, there is some of that, man. You get saved in a change of lifestyle. You start going to church and maybe dress begins to change, your speech begins to change, places you go. And by the way, those things ought to happen, amen? You ought to change when you, the Bible's still clear, hey, when you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ and things are different, amen? But he said some of them, some folks, man, when they receive the seed, they do it immediately and yet because of that, persecution, because of the trials, the tribulations, it causes offense, and it causes some just to quit. Be careful how you receive the seed. Don't be one of those that, man, you get excited, boy, I'm glad I got saved, and then you end up quitting. Don't do that. There's another crowd, if you would, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, deceitfulness, riches, choke the word, he becometh unfruitful. There's a crowd that, man, worldly cares, the deceitfulness of riches. Let me explain that. Man, you get saved, and all of a sudden there's this new job that you got. And that new job gets you out of church. I've seen it. It was just, I think it was on Monday night, one of the preachers there was preaching about the same thing. I've seen it so many times through the years. Somebody gets saved, they'll come to church, they get baptized, man, they start getting involved, start growing, and the next thing you know, there's this new job and more money, but it caused them to be out of church. And I tell you, there's not a job worth getting out of church over. Not a job worth it. There is not a pay raise. Listen, I'm telling you, you hadn't even ought to consider moving for a job until you check out what's the church I'm going to first. And if there's not a good church there, the job ain't worth it. It's not worth it. Is it worth really that money worth losing your family spiritually over? I don't think so. I don't think it's worth it. But there's a crowd that, listen, that's the deceitfulness of riches. And all of a sudden, they're unfruitful now. And I remember in Bible college debating, man, I wonder whether those folks are really saved or not. Well, we know the first guy wasn't. He didn't get it at all. But those next two, you kind of wonder, man, it says they received the word, but now they some quit, some become unfruitful. Whether they really saved, I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure, but I know this, I don't want to be like them. Yeah. That's what it boils down to. I don't want to be like them. Amen? I want to be like this last crowd. Let's look at this. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Some bring forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Can I say it this way? The last thing I see is this. Good ground appears to be fruitful ground. Good ground appears to be fruitful ground. Let's close with this. John chapter 15, if you would, turn over there. Good ground hears what's being said. Good ground understands what's being said. Good ground beareth fruit from what is said. And can I say it this way? How fruitful seems to matter to God? How fruitful you are seems to matter to God. John chapter 15, he says here, I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he said here, I have a branch that's bearing fruit. All right? But he said, I'm going to go to work on it and do some purging. Hey, we all have things in our life that need to be taken out. Amen? And he says, why does he do that? So we can bring forth, he says here, more fruit. Now, if you would, drop down to verse 5. I'm the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what's the next two words there? What is it? Much fruit. So we've gone from bearing fruit, more fruit, now much fruit. Verse 8, he ends with this. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit. Is that what it says? Huh? What does it say? How about that? See, this is the point, I believe. It's not just that God wants every branch to bear fruit, but the more fruit, the better. God wants you to bear much fruit. Why? Because God wants folks saved. That's what it boils down to. And he wants to use you. Say, well, I'm just not. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, understand tonight. There are folks that you can reach that pastor cannot. There are folks that you can reach that others cannot. God has placed you in their life on purpose. They've watched you. They've seen you. Maybe at work. Maybe it's a family member. Let's be honest. Sometimes some of the hardest folks to win is family members because they know us. They've seen us even before we got saved. But you remember what he told the Gadarene demoniac there? He said, go home and show them how great things God hath done for thee. See, if family is going to get saved, they're going to have to see something great, what God's done in your life. There ought to be great change in your life because you got saved. Amen? And God's for this. He's for you. You, Christian, to bear much fruit. That glorifies him. Now remember, this teaching's for the saved. Wasn't for the lost crowd. Teaching's here's for us. Be careful how you receive that seed. Don't end up quitting or becoming unfruitful. Be fruitful for God. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you again now for the opportunity that we have this evening to gather around the Word of God. Lord, pray that tonight it's been helpful and encouraging. Lord, that maybe somebody that's not ever been out soul winning would say, you know what, I believe God would have me to go and maybe would commit themselves to begin to go, to learn how to win souls and begin to go. And those that maybe have slacked off and maybe quit going would say, you know what, because of my love, I believe I'll get back to it. I believe I'll just get back to winning souls for Christ. God, please, we want to be fruitful for you. Speak to hearts now. Use the invitation as you will. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you need to use the altar's open. This evening you're not saved. Wouldn't you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Oh, it would be an awful thing. You miss heaven. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. If you've never been a soul winner, why don't you come this evening? Commit yourself to be a soul winner for Christ.